I've got a guarantee. Ashby, you got a guarantee. But let me tell you a little bit about the sponsor, North Hills Auto. Now, NorthHillsAuto.com, this is a company. When Jacob told me about this, this is amazing. 120-point inspection. You get on this yearly annual plan, and every year you get this 120-point full inspection of your vehicle. And that way they keep up with it, knowing, hey, and eventually we need to look at this. Eventually we got to do this. Right now, this is they prioritize it for you. And that whole thing is only $120, $119.95 a year. But with it, you get 4 oil and filter changes for the year. So, I mean, that's if you got your oil changed now, like, it almost costs, it's like half price on what you get in a lot of places there now. So do that. Take care of that. And that way they get your car on file and they know your car. And oh, by the way, I got just an absolutely amazing review that I'll read to you here in a second. Ask about ProFleet Solutions as well. So done right, first time, on time, guaranteed. Let me give you a guarantee in sports. Tate Reynolds is going to have a short yardage or a goal line or a two-point situation earlier than we would think. I think that most people feel like that Vecina is going to be the guy for every snap against LSU. I'm not going to guarantee it'll be against LSU. It might be against Miami. But I am going to guarantee you that Tate Reynolds will get a short yard, some sort of package a lot earlier than we think. You like that guarantee?
I like that guarantee.
All right, you got a guarantee for me?
I guarantee that Clemson's defense will have more interceptions this year than they did last year. 9 total last year. 6 came from one player. I don't see that happening again with the leader in the country. Some new transfers. I think they're going to be better.
I love it. I like the guarantee. I like this segment. I want to tell you, now this is what Ned said about North Hills Auto. North Hills is awesome. 5-star review. This is just yesterday. They've been servicing my car for almost 10 years. They kept the cars running with very high mileage. Several over the last years went well over 200,000 miles. We drive an hour to have our 3 cars serviced. That's good. During the past year, we had 2 flats that were not repairable. And with the tire guarantee, they replaced those tires for free. Just recently, they installed an engine sensor that went bad and replaced it for free. Their employees are top-notch, professional, and courteous. Bonnie goes out of the way to help us. I won't go anywhere else to service our cars. I like that. Go to NorthHillsAuto.com. Make your appointment at Butler Road. Make your appointment at Augusta Street. And do like Ned does and put up a great 5-star review. Certainly enjoy that segment. Our telephone number is 654-ROAR, 654-7627. Let's get to our Pratt Injury Lawyer phone lines where Wendy checks in. Good morning, Wendy. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Mickey? How are you?
I'm fantastic, man. You doing okay?
Doing all right. Hey, first time caller, long time listener. But what I've got to say here, and it's going back a little bit here, when you were speaking about Carson Beck and the little joke. I think it was Carson Beck.
Yeah.
Or it might have been Haynes King, where it was the left arm, right arm, whatever was better.
Treon Harris, University of Florida. Treon Harris, yes.
There we go. But before I got to Clemson and found my way down here, I played some pretty good hockey, and I had a teammate of mine. He was lefty hockey, and we were out golfing one day. He made the joke saying, you know, you shoot so crappy, maybe you should try right hand. You tried it. If it didn't drop a score by 20 strokes.
That day?
That day.
Like there was no warm up, no lessons, no let me try it, let me go get some. So he used somebody else's clubs?
Yeah, he used my clubs.
He used your clubs. He never played right handed ever.
No. He was a lefty.
Yeah.
Playing hockey, golf lefty. And then started golfing right, and he's done it ever since. Plays hockey left, beer league, whatever, men's league.
Yeah.
Still plays lefty, but golf's righty.
How about that, man? How about that? So So,
before we close it out here, though,
yeah.
I do have a question for you. Your thoughts on Schnabel leaving.
Okay. I'm going to get to that. Let me give you this, too. You're a hockey guy, right?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you a guy that I played. Not, I played more with his dad and his brother.
Uh-huh.
I probably played with his dad maybe five or six times and his brother, who's also a hockey player, five or six times. But I know on one or two occasions that I played golf with Mark Messier.
Nice.
They lived down in, they had a house down in Hilton Head, and they were always coming and playing a lot of places. They were very well known in Hilton Head in the offseason. And his brother, Paul, I believe is his brother's name. But they were good guys, man. Good guys. And you talk about smashing one. One of the longest years I ever played with was a college hockey guy. And I guess there's a lot of Happy Gilmore, you think about it, but I guess there's a lot in there, man, where a little transition from hockey over to golf that way. But you want to ask your baseball question?
I was going to close it on out.
Yeah.
But your thoughts on Schnabel's departure.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. I didn't see anything coming with that. Now, his son's going to go to East Carolina. There's talk about him getting into private business or maybe helping in the recruiting business or helping, you know, coaching and all that kind of stuff. Maybe through that he watches his son play more. I don't know what the reason for it. We've not heard from him on the subject. But I think that nowadays with what Clemson pays and what the – and to be able to work for, I don't think that's going to be – I mean, it's a big loss and all, but I think it'll be a pretty marketable position. And at a time of year where I think that EB is going to be able to fill that out pretty good.
I agree with that 100%. It was just kind of because I grew up about 10 minutes outside of Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
I'm a Clemson alum, but obviously I had followed, you know, Schnabel and Backich prior to that as well.
Small world.
Yeah, how about that?
When they were in Ann Arbor and at Michigan. But it was kind of one of those that it seemed very ambiguous, the departure and the reasons to departure. And that's what I want to know a little bit more about.
I'll ask EB about it. We'll ask our sources if we can find anything else about that. But the good news is that we're going to get Eric Backich on. I talked to Brian Hennessy about it yesterday. In the next couple of weeks, before the first football game, we'll get EB on and we'll go over staff stuff and class and recruiting and draft and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be the next two weeks or so we get him on for us.
Well, Mickey, you don't remember me, but I met you about 2 years ago at the Cajun Cafe.
All right, I'm trying to remember that because when he said Wendy, I was like, wait a minute, man. You got a deeper voice, I thought, there. But yeah.
Swindy.
I got it. Hey, introduce yourself next time at Cage's Cafe. Love to see you again.
Yeah, I'm job changes. May not be there, but on my way to the beach and doing that lovely 385 interchange right now.
All right. Be careful, Swindy. Good to hear from you. Good phone call. The guy dropped a shot 20 strokes in one day. That's good. I'm dropping mine a bunch now because I got my launch monitor.
Come on.
And my new net. Let's go.
Come on.
Let's go.
It's going to be awesome.
Take care of that. 654 Roar. Got about 5 minutes in this segment. And then Josh Williams is going to join us to talk some college football. I made a big deal out of the Indiana efficiency last year. And I think that's something that a lot of people – I think if you told Clemson and South Carolina fans this year that you could take a book out of their a page out of their books, you would do that. And I don't think Indiana – I think it's pretty obvious in the Miami game. Miami's more talented than Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's more – in the NFL draft, you kind of saw it.
They're a unicorn.
Yeah. I want to be that. Years ago, Ashby, I came on in the late 90s and early 2000s. And I said, all I want to be is Virginia Tech. Now, Ryan, Virginia Tech was going 10-2 at the time and finished eighth in the country every year. And Clemson was struggling 6-6. I said, I just want to be. I don't need to be Tennessee and Florida at the time. So those were the two of the programs. Just let me be Virginia Tech. I just want to be Indiana, and I'm not talking about national championship Indiana. I want to be efficient. I want my team's first down yardage to be very good because it sets everything. I want great third down conversions.
Gotta be better. Gotta be better on third down.
I want to be better in the red zone. I want to limit my turnovers. I want to be very good at third down conversion defense. Very good in all those little efficiency numbers. And I think if you do enough of that, then you can beat most teams on your schedule. Look, we've talked before, like, this team is not the uber-talented teams you've seen in the past. But still, you can't tell me outside of LSU, and we don't know what LSU has yet. In Miami, we do know they have it. Clemson's not as talented as Miami. There's no doubt about that. Is there another team on the schedule that you would say that if you watched them at practice yesterday, you notice there's a big talent level difference between Clemson and them on the schedule? I don't think you say that about anybody else.
Mm-mm.
So go out, coach, out, execute. The thing that we never give enough credit for in analyzing football or basketball or baseball, anything else, is we never give the credit for the execution.
You're so right. You're so right on this. For reference, all right, in 2020, just because that's as far back as this website goes, Clemson was second in the ACC third down conversions, converted 50% of them, right?
It's a great percentage.
48. 2025, 16th out of 17th in the ACC converted, guess how many?
Stomach hurt.
34%.
That makes my stomach hurt.
Look, you don't have to be talented to convert on third down, but you know how you fix it? You get out of having second and nine every single time.
Yeah. Quarterback running out of bounds behind the chains in second 14.
That to me is such a telling statistic about this stat last year. We know they weren't great in the red zone either, but yeah, I mean 15th in the ACC in the red zone as well. But my point is, like, that wouldn't be so low if you were better on first down. You didn't have so many three and outs, like, goodness gracious.
Clemson was 113th in the country on third down percentage last year. 113th in the country.
That's unacceptable.
South Carolina was 125th in the country in third down conversions last year. You think you got Lenora Sellers that you can't hem up in a phone booth? And you're 125th in the country in third down conversions? Let him scramble for first down, man. Meanwhile, and you're talking about, what, 30, what'd you say, 34% or something like that?
34%.
Meanwhile, Indiana's at 58%.
That's an efficiency thing.
Yes.
You don't need to have the most talented monsters to be good in that. You don't. You don't need to have the biggest guys, the strongest guys to be good in the red zone. And you don't need those kinds of athletes to win games that are within 3 points. And you lost three games by 11 points last year. All of that, to me, goes together. That's a toughness thing.
That's what we want to be efficient.
To me, these stats show toughness as much as they show efficiency.
Mental toughness.
Yes.
Physical toughness.
Mm-hmm.
I got to get Josh, but red zone, man. I want to be efficient in the red zone. We don't calculate red zone correctly. Red zone should not be calculated as a percentage of how many times he's going to red zone. Red zone needs to be the average number of points you get in the red zone.
Mm.
Because if I'm in the red zone, like last year, Hawaii was second in the country in the red zone. But they, in 42 attempts, they had 24 touchdowns, but they had to kick 16 field goals. Like, that's not efficient.
Totally.
Whereas Oklahoma had 34 red zone scores, but only 9 field goals. They had 25 touchdowns, 9 field goals. You need to go on average points per red zone trip. That's how you measure red zone efficiency, not the number of times you scored. If you're on defense, you hold somebody to field goal in the red zone, you won. On offense, it's like, oh, well, we did that. We did that for sure. No. But to that point, talking about getting better in the red zone. Clemson 105th in the country last year in the red zone.
Brutal.
I got to do better, man. I got to do better. Be more efficient. Speaking of Clemson football, Josh Williams is going to speak about it when we come back. Much more on the other side right after this.
Want to stay up to date with everything the Roar has to offer?
Follow us on social media
at The Roar FM
so you never miss a live show or event.
The Roar, where the upstate sounds off.
Ladies, Elkmont has great game day apparel, but they and some of the boutique stuff that looks really, really good. I'm looking at it right now, man. Some awesome, the colors and the Tiger stuff. And, man, sometimes ladies say, I have a hard time getting game day apparel. Oh, no, this, and I'm not talking about the T-shirts or the sweatshirts. I'm talking about really looking, good-looking, you know, ladies' clothes in the boutique section over there. But not just that. For the ladies, they've got the game day accessories for you. So your pins and your bracelets and your pocketbooks and your belts and all those accessories, they do a terrific job of it for you. Go by Elkmont Trading Company. Men, you know about this. Guys, you know how to dress for a football game. I'm T-shirt guy at football games. I'm outside because I'm hot. But you want that awesome-looking game day apparel for men and those that awesome logo. They've got their own Elkmont Trading Company Clemson logo. It's a tiger. It looks really cool. So you're going to love that. Get by and see those folks as well. And all those Tiger hats and I love their logos on their hats as well, the Tiger logo on it. You're going to love Elkmont Trading Company. So game day right around the corner. Not to mention that you'll get other things when you're in Elkmont Trading Company because of all the other things for everybody else. But think about stopping by, ladies and men, for game day. And game day footwear, too. Don't forget about that. Go by and see you 93-123 in Clemson. It's ElkmontTradingCompany.com.
Loud, loyal, and locked in. The home for Clemson sports.
Good morning, J-Dub. How you doing?
Hey, I'm well. How are you, man?
We are fantastic. Let's talk some position battles if we can. Outside of quarterback, I want to save that for the last 5 minutes of the segment. What has your attention? What position battles right now really has got you your keen senses on at this point in time?
Yeah, I mean, kind of several on both sides of the ball. I think if you look at defensively, obviously you got a lot of new bodies across the defensive line, particularly defensive tackle. How is that going to shake out? You know, I think you probably feel pretty good that Oklahoma transfer will probably lock down one of those spots, and then it's kind of a free for all for the other one. You know, you want to see, you know, some steps forward from obviously from guys that have been in the program, obviously like Adams and Burley and Thompson and others, and then you get the new toy, JUCO transfer there, Burbage that everybody is raving about and high on. You want to see how that kind of shakes out. But you know, I think linebacker's another one. You know, you kind of know your initial pecking order, right? But I think you kind of need a couple of the younger, lesser experienced guys to kind of take a step and show that they're a viable contributor. You know, you got Kuba Taylor, Woodaz, Anderson, maybe even Riley. I think you need a couple of those guys to hopefully show that they can be a contributor to what's a fairly thin position group.
I would say on the defensive line standpoint, the new toy is always great. I would even throw Woods in there with the JUCO and the Oklahoma kid. But to me, the key is going to be it's time for Adams to step up. It's time for Burley to step up. It's time for Champ Thompson to step up. Some of these guys and developmentals guys, and it might be Cody. I think like Cody the freshman, but there's going to be a bunch of snaps that are divided up. I don't think there's any true alphas. I don't think there's any true NFL guys at this point in time right now. Maybe outside of Adams. Adams kind of has a little bit of that in him. But the point is, I think that those development of the guys who've been around. Burley's done nothing so far and been a disappointment. It's time for him to play. And Thompson's shown some signs, and he's not the most athletic guy, but it's time for him to play. And it's time to get those those three holdovers. I think that's kind of a key. But Adams is the one, would you agree with this? Adams is the one that he's got a little bit of some superpower to him. He's got a little bit of superhero kind of thing to him. He's got some talent and some twitchiness to him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's obviously, you know what he was in the – how highly he was rated in the recruiting process, and he had high hopes for him coming in. But, you know, another thing, he's got to stay healthy.
He seemed kind of dinged up, which you can say that about a lot of these guys, to be honest, especially Burley. I mean, his whole time here.
Yeah.
I think you would hope Adams jumps in and runs with it. But, yeah, we'll see.
It's got to happen. You mentioned linebackers. I mean, the Frehley thing, that's just a body blow. That's just a tremendous loss. Because if you compare Sammy Brown to Luke Frehley, you've got the best linebacker core in the ACC. Without that, there's such a drop-off. And I don't know who I trust. Maybe McLeod, maybe Cothran, maybe Alexander, maybe. I just don't know. I think there is a huge, huge drop-off in that area there. And I think that's going to be maybe a backbreaker for that second level.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those guys, particularly McLeod, I mean, you trust because he's been in the system so long. He knows assignments and knows what to do. But,
yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he's obviously limited a bit athletically. I mean, does he really necessarily fit? Maybe not. But, you know, you're probably going to lean on the experience and trust. It's just, the Frehley thing was probably going to rear its head several times through the year, because it could have been a position of strength, and now it might be something you're trying to mask, you know, most of the year, and particularly against certain offenses.
Let me see if I can talk you into this, and I want to do quarterbacks here, and after we do about a couple of minutes of this. I was at practice yesterday, limited viewing window, oh, by the way, but there are, on the offensive line, I worry about health and I worry about inexperience. But, and this might sound crazy, I don't see Mitch Hyatt out there. I don't see NFL out there. But I see a bunch of really good-looking bodies. And I think that between Sewell and Thurman and Jacobs and Ware, maybe Caddis, maybe O'Connell, maybe Wise, maybe Blanchard, maybe Barclay, maybe Sadler, like there's – you know, maybe even a Delaney. Like, there's ability there. There's this unit looks better to me. Now, again, high-end, front-end talent, maybe not, but a lot of depth, maybe a lot of answers, maybe playing a little more bodies, maybe. But this does not look like – after watching it, a high school coach told me this, offensive line coach told me this, that you can see why they didn't go in the portal to go get someone. There's depth there. It's unproven, and there's some injury situations. But there's some talent along this offensive line. There's a little more depth than they've had there in a while.
Yeah, actually, I mean, this was one I was actually going to bring up. I mean, you kind of got you've got some battles on the right side of the offensive line. I mean, I think you probably feel at least how they're going to start. You know, left tackle to center is fairly set, you would think. But right, you know, the right side, you got some combination of O'Connell, Sadler, you know, Caddis Ware, some combination of that, you know, battling for kind of right guard, right tackle, which almost kind of gets me, you know, I don't want to just like bag on Garrett Riley continuously, but like if you think about, if you do nothing else, do you think that Morris and what he wants to do will just better adapt to the available bodies and type of athleticism they have on the offensive line, possibly. And you could even kind of rope tight end into that a little bit. Like, it just seemed like, you know, with Riley, with that, you know, the GT counter, and you've got two guards and like Sewell and Parks who just were not nimble enough with the foot quickness to be able to run, you know, pulling as a pulling guard. Obviously, the best that it worked was when Jacobs was playing left guard, actually. But, I mean, just it was just kind of a square peg, round hole thing with some of the how the personnel was kind of structured on offensive line and maybe what he wanted to do ideally in the run game, and it didn't work. And obviously, kind of the same thing with tight end. You kind of have more of these in-line H-back types, obviously, with Pat Henry and Bettencourt and whatnot. You know, they're not, but they were kind of split out wide so much.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different kind of personnel than what you had, you know, the the few years before I was still with Burning Stool. So I don't know. It kind of linked those hand in hand with maybe with, you know, wanting to improve the run game.
I would agree with that. And the other thing I would add to it is that there were so many RPOs. And an RPO with Klubnik was it's really a pass run option. It's a PRO because he was going to throw it more times than not. He's going to pull that ball when maybe you shouldn't pull it. Some of those. And to me, from an offensive line standpoint, an RPO, and I get it, I understand why, but man, I want to, in the run game, you're going to charge me if we don't run the ball well, if a guy comes off the ball, whatever, and I'm in an RPO type mindset. That's not a fair battle. Whereas in a run game, I can come off of it a little bit more and I can get downfield a little bit more, get the second level a little bit more. Like, I'm going to give my offensive line a much better chance in the run game by calling fewer RPOs and more committed runs. You buying that? Mentality-wise.
Right.
All right, let's get to the elephant in the room then. Going into it, mid-season, coming out of it, what are some of the thoughts about the quarterback battle?
Well, my initial thought is this, and I'll ask you this question. It obviously, it's been, you know, going into spring, you said, well, it's three of them. Now, obviously, it's a pecking order. You have the two, Reynolds and Vezina. Does Reynolds and the talk closing the gap, is that more indicative of him being impressive so far, or, you know, Vezina just less than impressive? I mean, I don't know. To me, it almost doesn't speak well of Vezina in a sense, because you've got a freshman quarterback that's coming off missing virtually his entire senior high school season. And coming in and pushing you and trying to show, and he's ready to compete.
Let me give you both. And let me say this. I was with a former Clemson coach yesterday at practice, and he said about Vezina, he goes, I have no issues. And actually, you can catch on this as well. He goes, I have no issues with Vezina, and I think he's going to be okay. But my question will be, can he be special enough that when you do need him to go win the football game, can he do that? And so I don't know if that's in there. I don't know if there's that talent that's in there. The other thing, to answer your question, I say both, and probably lean more this way, is I think that physically, when you just watch him, physically, Reynolds is an impressive cat. I mean, he's a big, thick guy. He's got an arm. The arm strength is more impressive. The athleticism is more impressive. And I know he missed the ACL. It didn't look like there's any ACL issues out there in the spring or now. And so the inexperience is a tremendous issue. And the little things, getting in and out of plays and the checks and the reads and the processing is a major deal. I get it. But from a physical standpoint, like, there's a difference in him and Vezina. So I think, can I go with both? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's different in a sense from, you know, past freshman quarterbacks, you know, like Watson, Lawrence to a degree, Klubnik, and that, you know, they were coming in, maybe particularly with Watson and Lawrence, more ready maybe mentally with some of the processing, but the, you know, the physical aspect wasn't there. Obviously they needed to bulk up quite a bit and get ready for the physicality part of it. Whereas Reynolds, it's almost the reverse, right?
Yeah.
I mean, 100%. There's no question he's got the body type. He looked physically ready. But, you know, essentially almost missing an entire year, your senior year of football, and then coming in trying to be a P4 starter, that's tough.
I will tell you this. I think in watching Chad Morris and watching Taj Boyd, there's a lot on them with his development. It is a developmental position as well. He does not come in, add water like Deshaun, just add water like Trevor and go. He does not have that ability. He's not either of those guys. But he definitely fits into the physical talent that the Taj Boyd and Deshaun and Trevor, like, down the road as far as what the ceiling is, not first round draft pick, I don't feel like, but there's a lot in there. There's a lot of tools, let me put it that way. He's toolsy compared to what you currently have and what you've had here the last 5 years. And I would be, I'm more excited about that now than after watching the Georgia game of DJ. I was like, uh-oh. And watching some of the pee on the carpet moments with Cade Klubnik, I'm like, uh-oh. Whereas, and there might be some uh-oh moments with Reynolds that I might not, you might not be able to overcome. But there's a lot of tools, man. There's a lot of tools in there. And it's up to Morris and Boyd to continue to develop those. And maybe we're talking about 27 rather than 26, but we'll see. Can I talk one final in the final 15 seconds? Can I talk you into that there's a chance this is a not as a talented a football team, but a better football team than last year?
Yeah, I mean, certainly when, you know, whenever your number of NFL draft picks outnumber the number of wins that you have, it's not always a good thing. But yeah, I think that's fair. But again, it's going to depend a lot on the quarterback.
Yep, no doubt. I enjoy it, buddy. Let's talk next week. Have a great week. I'll see you later today. How about that?
Yeah, I want to start getting into some win totals next week.
Let's do it. Can't wait. All right, buddy. See you in a couple hours.
Right, have a good weekend.
Mm-hmm. Right. Playing golf with Josh Williams today. Gets that. Not my group, though. We're not playing. We're not paired together, but we'll have a lot of fun. When we come back, we'll get our ReedyLandCo.com hunting and fishing report. And I'll ask Ashby as well the thoughts on what she's thought about quarterbacks as well. Much more after this.
Scrolling again? Well, you might as well follow us while you're at it.
Find The Roar on X, Instagram, and TikTok
at The Roar FM to get even more content from all your favorite hosts.
The Roar, where every day is game day.
You know, football season is so close when I can go to Tiger Sports Shop's website and tigersports.com and see the new Clemson shoes that are out, the new Nikes that are out. And I've never had any of these, but a lot of people like them, and a lot of it look really good. So go by and check those out. All the game day stuff is ready for you. The jerseys are ready for you. The T-shirts are ready for you right now. A bunch of new polos over there. You and I, Ashley, we're vintage people. We're throwback people. And they've got a bunch of vintage things over there. So, you know, when you're in Clemson, go by both locations, College Avenue, Tiger Boulevard, and it wouldn't be complete if you didn't go by and see our great friends for 50 years now. And the last thing I can tell you about Tiger Sports at tigersports.com, it is also nice to check in and see the countdown to kickoff, which is currently at 29 days, 11 hours, 46 minutes, and well, actually 45 minutes and 59 seconds. So Tiger Sports, check those good folks out when you come into Clemson getting ready for the season. It's tigersports.com.
We make traffic a little more tolerable. The Upstate Sports Leader.
That's right.
The Roar.
At Lake Kiwi Ford and Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we offer transparent pricing.
Long to her. She gets amazing grace and the honey drippers, and she gets all that. So I appreciate you playing Lil Willie Nelson for me. I know that's not what a lot of people want to hear. But
can I tell you something I really appreciate about you?
What's that? Well, yeah, yes. Yes, we only have another hour and 10 minutes, but yes. We could go into facts and show. Yes.
They'll understand.
Yes.
I really appreciate, there's about once a week where I'm like, all right, Mickey, what song do you want to hear? And every single time, there's no hesitation with you ever.
Got it.
You always know, and it's always something good.
Yeah.
There's no like, there's no hesitation.
Well, it's such a big part of life and our lives and the show and our personal lives and all that. And so when Drake was a kid, the rockabye song, I didn't know, like my wife will still sing like these nursery rhymes to him, like I don't know that. Or she sings these Disney tunes to him, and I'm like, I don't know that, but I can tell you it's the time of the preacher and the year of 01, so I've got all that, you know. Couldn't believe it was true.
You're gonna have some Gen Alpha kids that are nostalgic for Willie Nelson.
My little girl, she'll sit back and I'll start it, like I'll say, last night as I came and I knocked on your door, and she'll say, I called out your name as I oft have before. Like, she knows. My kids got, first of all, you know, my wife is brilliant.
Yes.
My wife will hear a song. The second time she hears it, she knows every word in the song. I have not that ability. I don't know the words to any song. I'll mess it all up. They make fun of me of how I will mess up songs, and they go, "You really think that's what it says?"
That's how my dad is too.
Yeah, mess them up, and they make fun of me. Both of my kids, I was just getting into it. Drake can hear a song the second time, he's back there word for word.
Well,
it's crazy.
That's how he knows all of Slim Shady.
Yes. And all of Ella and all of Morgan Wallen, he's got all that now. But my little girl is nothing better than my little girl. I'll say, she cried like a baby. And my little girl goes, she screamed like a panther in the middle of the night. Nothing better than that, man.
2 years old.
2 years old.
So awesome.
About to turn three, and she puts her fingers out right now. On my birthday, I'll be this many. I don't want a Moana cake. So she's getting a Moana cake.
She knows what she wants.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. Hey, my great friends at Prime Lending and PrimeLendingSC.com, let Mark and Amanda do this for you and take care of things for you. I had yesterday, I think it's Lake Murray Michael sent it in. They said his first mortgage that he signed was like 12.5% back in the late 70s or 80s or something. Like, man, can you imagine it? If you had 12.5% right now, you probably need to refinance. Let's get it. Let's take care of it. It's our great friends over at Prime Lending, remodeling, buying a house, or refinancing. Get with the best in the business. Let it be one of your three estimates. You need three opinions. They'll take care of it for you. So great friends at Prime Lending, PrimeLendingSC.com. 1984, Lake Murray Michael says, 12%. Whoa, ouch, man, that just hurts. But houses weren't $500,000 back then either. So, you know, you bought 12.5% on $40,000 is different than over 30 years is different than 6% at $400,000. Anyway, with that said, it's a very interesting text from 0019 where the text, and the 224 area code, where's the 224? Will you do me one big, huge favor? Can we look up 224 area code and tell you where the genesis of this question comes from, maybe?
That would be Northeastern Illinois.
How about that? But the text says, Tate Reynolds is our Tim Tebow. Now, let's be fair. Tim Tebow was a Heisman Trophy winner. Tim Tebow won 2 national championships. But stylistically, thinking about it, maybe. And Tim Tebow obviously was not great at the forward pass. Now, Tim Tebow in high school was a very experienced high school guy. Reynolds hadn't had a whole lot of experience there. But from a tools standpoint, I could kind of see it. It's a big, thick lower body. I think he's got a better arm than Tim Tebow. Does he have the moxie, the resiliency, the leadership? Does he have all that? I don't know that. And I'm not saying he's going to be Tim Tebow. I'm not saying he's going to win the Heisman Trophy, win national championships. But stylistically, wise, you can kind of see that a little bit. Big-bodied, physical kind of guy.
Physically, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's a great comp.
Yeah.
How tall is – I need to look up how tall Tim Tebow is.
Let's look that up now. Will you look that up for us? And I'll give you this one. I got a great story for you. It was March or April of 2015. Yeah. March or April 2015. And I'm at the Esso Club having dinner. Now, this is after Deshaun's first year was 2014, right? Yeah. This is after that year. And now let me kind of set this up. So let me do Deshaun and game by game. Because I'll just happen to be right about this one. Deshaun watching Clemson stats. All right. If you remember in 14, Watson came in through the Georgia pass. And then took over the Florida State game. And then some of those in there, let me do the ESPN go, ESPN Lockett. Some of those in there, like the North Carolina game, was like 5 or 6 touchdowns. and the NC State game, like the next week, I think it was right around then, was 5 or 6 touchdowns, and they were putting up just tons of points. And Watson, and then he got hurt at the end of the year in the Georgia Tech game, and it kind of fell apart. But then came back against South Carolina. So we're talking about in that 2014 season. Deshaun in that year threw for 1,400 yards. He threw for 14 touchdowns and 2 picks. And he ran for 200 yards, and he ran for 5 touchdowns. But so it wasn't – it didn't get the first part of the year right, and he didn't get the – one more time here. I finally found it. And the end of the year was injury field. But, like, against North Carolina – against Florida State, 19-28 for 266. Against North Carolina, 27-36 for 435, 6 touchdowns, 1 pick. All right? Against NC State, 17-29 for 267, 2 touchdowns. So – and then it gets hurt against Georgia Tech. So it's really based upon that North Carolina and NC State, and they weren't very good defensively. But we're at the SO Club, and we're having dinner. And I might have been on a second cocktail at the time. I don't know. I can't confirm or deny that. And my buddies were sitting around. I went, let me ask you guys something. Name another quarterback in this system. Name another quarterback you'd rather have in the history of college football than Deshaun Watson the next 2 years. And at first they're like, what? And they're, well, I could reel off all these guys. And I was like, all right, go.
Sam.
And they came up with a few. Vince Young was one. And I said, well, you know what? I think Deshaun's a better passer than Vince Young. Tim Tebow is one. I think Deshaun's a better passer than Tim Tebow. Now, this was before now. How it happened is hit this nail right on the head. There was Charlie Ward, you know, was brought up. I think Deshaun's a better passer than Charlie Ward, maybe. And then you got into some Peyton Mannings. He wasn't as good of an athlete, you know. So my point was that they were going to run a little bit, a dual threat guy. This is going to be an offense that was going to be situating his abilities. And as it turned out, he played in 2 national championship games and went crazy. Now, to be fair, a full disclosure, I didn't know he'd go for 400 yards against Alabama and 4 touchdowns the next year, and then didn't know he'd go for 420 yards and 3 touchdowns the following year with national championship. I didn't know all that. But the point was, like, who would you name anybody in the history of the game? Cam Newton was one that I agreed on. Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. But he was the call role in that class, it did take a long time, was the point.
What about Michael Vick?
Maybe. But I think in college, Deshaun's a better passer than Michael Vick. So you kind of get what we're saying there.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is an interesting conversation.
All right, let's do it. Can we do it in hour 3?
Let's do it.
All right, short break. We'll come back. Continue that and your phone calls, hour 3, right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson.
Greenville Anderson.
WAHD-AM 1560.
Cowpens.
97.5 Spartanburg.
We are the Roar.
The countdown is on. 29 days until Clemson Tiger football. Presented by Ingles.
Ingles. Low prices. Love the saving.
Watson in shotgun. Takes the shotgun snap. Play action. Wants to throw. Going long. Look for Mike Williams. Up he goes the ladder and makes the grab at the Alabama 31.
105.5.
97.5.
The Roar.
The Roar. Where every day is game day.
When it comes time to it, and the sewage is on the floor, the bathroom is all backed up, the tubs is coming up through there, the sinks are clogged, the water heater burst, the disposal, man, it's got issues and breaking up, and you got things coming up in the disposal, or the septic tank and the sump pump's not working great. There's one time plumber in Charleston, in Columbia, in Greenville. The upstate of South Carolina knows it. Get in touch with him. One Tom Plumber. The name is the number. Don't worry. A local licensed, bonded, insured. You know about the company. If it does come time, I hope you don't have to. If it does come time to do it, get in touch with them. Help you out. It's onetomplumber.com.
The MLB lives here.
That ball is gone.
The Roar.
Hey, Joe.
Hey.